Heavenly Father, we thank you for your light and the Lord Jesus Christ in which you have given us. And Lord, as we look at your word, we pray that you would help us to glory in you, knowing you more and serving you better. We praise you for the grace you bestow upon this day so far. Would you continue to bless us by your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and read our text. Again, Matthew 28. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And so as we start off, I would kind of think about what kind of things would you think about when I would ask, do you have any life goals? You might have certain things that you want to accomplish, kind of a life goal that usually is a little extraordinary, not something that's routine like doing the laundry. That's not a life goal, but something. Some people, it might be going to Disneyland, which might not be there much longer because of the fires, right? Some other people, it might be going to see a grand slam in a baseball game or something. Well, for you younger generation, what's on your bucket list? A bucket list is that list of things you want to accomplish, get done, checked off, maybe swimming with sharks for you brave men, or skydiving, or maybe it's visiting the Stonehenge, or one of the seven wonders of the world. And so maybe it's seeing a toucan in the wild. Someone told me that was their bucket list. I was like, oh, that's interesting. But tonight, Jesus is going to, in a sense, guide his church's life goals, or the church's his disciples and followers' bucket lists. And so, as you know, this is a very, very familiar passage to all of us as the church. It is the Great Commission. I've recently preached on this just the beginning of the year, earlier. And so, as we look at this text, we're going to look at what it is again. We're going to look at Jesus' example and then apply that to ourselves. So our first point is going to be, what is the Great Commission? And I'll read it again as Jesus spoke, verse 18. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age." And so these, as a context, are Jesus's last words towards the end of his earthly ministry, where Jesus is with his disciples before he is going to ascend into heaven. And as he has been with his disciples 3 years, teaching them, being with them one-on-one, he lived out his life's mission. He taught them. He prayed with them. He worked with them. And now, as Jesus is ending his earthly ministry and continuing to go to ascend to the right hand of God the Father, he gives us these words, which is the Great Commission. And you can see where now, as he was doing this with his disciples, he looks to the 12 plus the other followers with him, and to all of his church to the end of the age, and declares these words, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then he continues to give us what we'll look at now is a mission, one, a burden or a work, and a command. All of these different aspects of what Jesus has given here. And so we see here first that it is a mission. Jesus' life was summarized for us by himself in Luke 19:10, where he says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Luke 19:10. And so, and even before Jesus came to his earthly ministry, it was prophesied in Isaiah that he would be coming to be one that was Isaiah 53:12. Because he poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And even at his birth, he was declared that he would be to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. And so this was Jesus' earthly mission while he was here, and continues even to this day. And now this mission here is a mission that he puts on us. His disciples are followers. And so what is a mission? A mission is going to be simply a task or a duty that is given to a group of people or a group, an important task that they are charged with. And so that mission is something that that group would be to accomplish. If we think of the Navy SEALs going into enemy territory, their mission is to save that one soldier who's got captured. And here, Jesus, as he ascends, right before he ascends to his Father, he gives to his disciples and all of us this very same mission, important task or duty for us to accomplish, just as he labored for. And so we see that Jesus here, and I love how it uses the word the great commission, which we'll go into later, where he is working, and now he calls us as disciples of his to be continuing that same mission or important task or duty. And so we see that's the first aspect of the Great Commission. The second thing we see is that it is a burden. And that, I mean, it is a work that Jesus lays upon us that we are to carry and to work at. And so this is a burden that Jesus himself bore while he was here, accomplishing the salvation. And now the call, as we see in the Mark's gospel, in Mark 16:15, Jesus says, in Mark's account, it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And so this work that Jesus is putting upon us is to evangelize and to make disciples. It is the work for us to go out and to declare the truth of Jesus Christ and his commands that he has declared to us. And so we see in Jesus saying, "Go, therefore, and make disciples, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you." And so what we see here is that literally Jesus is like the CEO, and we are his workers. And he has given us not only that mission, that focus, but a job to be working at. As he is our boss, we labor under him. And we don't go in our own authority. What authority do I have as a creature to go tell another creature they need to change or they need to turn around or they need to repent. No, we go in the authority of Jesus Christ. We go under His authority where we declare what Jesus Christ has declared to us, what He has revealed to us in our souls, and what He has given us. And that is where then we go and make disciples and teaching. And so, why would we fail at this command? So often I think of it as the same way we would fail at reading our Bibles every day. We have the same temptations that will come in to try and stop us from being able to follow that command to read our Bibles daily. The same temptations would come in and hinder us from obeying this command to go and make disciples, where things of the world, whether it could be business, family, it could be sports or entertainment or politics, all of those things can fill our lives and bring in excuses why we would neglect our Bible reading. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that delights in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. And as we have focused on our Lord Jesus Christ, we will delight in spending time with Him day and night in His Word. And in the same way, following this command, we fail when we let our focus not be looking to Him and His authority, but our focus start looking to the things of this earth. Or we might even worse, look at ourselves. And does Jesus want you to read your Bible daily? Does He want you to spend time with Him? Yes, easy, right? Does He want you to labor in going and evangelizing and making disciples? Yes, He does. Look at Jesus' equation. He has a simple equation here. It says, all authority in heaven and earth is mine. You go. We try and go, I don't have the right personality. Or, I don't know enough. Or I don't want to. Actually, Jesus doesn't really want to. He wants Him to go, not me. And or I don't have the right gift. Or I'm too old or I'm too young. And all of those things is going to be where we have lost our focus on what Jesus' authority gives us. And when we have Him as the one we are looking to, just like when we desire to read our Bibles, it is His help that strengthens us. It is His help that allows us to accomplish even that simple task of reading our Bibles daily. If we're looking other ways, we're going to fail. But as we look to Him, He is the one who will be the one that help us in that burden or labor. And so often we might think, that we need a gift. It's the gift that needs for this to be accomplished. But that is not biblical. This command is to all of His disciples to go and to make disciples and to teach. And so we see this burden of this work in the Great Commission. The third aspect of it is that the Great Commission is, as I mentioned, a command. What is a command? It's an authoritative instruction. Kids, you're used to commands. Do not lie. How are you doing with do not lie? Are you lying? Do not be anxious. How is your anxiety? How are you doing in obeying God's commands? Love your neighbor. How are you doing in loving that person who either is mean or selfish or rough personality? Are you forgiving and not holding grudges? And the Great Commission is just another command. And is another command that we need to obey. And so pastors, deacons, are we being good examples as church leaders of obeying this command? And this, as it is a command, is an encouragement, because as you think about commands in other aspects of our lives, imagine a person who's an adulterer, right? Whose life is full of lust and passion, but when they are come to faith and conversion, they are changed. And they slowly by measure grow in controlling that lust or that passion. And no longer are they characterized by the sin that controls them, but by the sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit, by measure they are no longer that adulterer or a liar. Grows in controlling their tongue. Or in this case, if we are one who does not make disciples, we would see this command as something that we need to grow in obedience. Sometimes we think it needs to all happen at once, but this is something that is also, like the other commands that we learn to grow in loving and obeying, like loving our neighbor or not being anxious, this also is a command that we can grow in. And so that's where it is helpful, because as we see that we look to Him, just like the liar asks God not to lie, give him the strength not to run to his tongue and just slip out the white lies, but by the Holy Spirit's help, overcome that. Us, we overcome the normal difficulty to go and evangelize, the fears, the lack of strength or doubts. As we look to Christ, we see that as a command, it is something we look to Him to help us to obey in. And we grow measure by measure. And so, we have seen that this Great Commission is a mission, is a focus that we want to have in our mind. It is a burden or a work that we take upon ourselves as Christ, as our Lord, gives us this last thing as a command that we are to follow. And so, our second point is going to be taking a look at the Lord Jesus Christ as an example of fulfilling the Great Commission. We're going to look at four aspects of that second point, where it's looking at how Jesus fulfilled the Great Mission in laboring in prayer. And this is just going to be four things that's going to be a springboard for you to study as you desire to fulfill this command. The second thing would be, first was prayer. Second would be teaching. Third would be compassion. And fourth would be obedience. And so we see that Jesus' example of this Great Commission, He Himself declared again. Why did He come? For the Son of Man, Luke 19:10, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so, the first aspect as He labored is prayer. One of the things that Jesus did to accomplish this Great Commission is a humble service in praying for those around Him, for those that the Father desired Him to go and save and seek, or seek and save. And so we see Luke 6:12, starting off with, "Now it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." I don't last more than 5 minutes praying some nights, but it's amazing to see where Jesus, what was He going to do the next day? He was going to appoint the 12 disciples that would be following Him day by day. And before He did this, what did He do? He spent all night in prayer. And this is how he was working out his mission of going to seek and to save the lost, which he has given to us also. And so Mark 1:35, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." So pretty much before the daylight coming out, it says a long while. I don't know, maybe daylight comes out at 6, maybe that's 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock. He pretty much snuck out. The disciples didn't know where he went. In verse 36 it says, "After much prayer, they were looking for him." So they lost where Jesus went because he went off into a solitary place to pray. And so, the disciples ask him, then he declares to the disciples, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And so we see there that Jesus, as before he spends the day going out preaching and teaching, he goes solitary to spend time with his heavenly Father. And then Mark 6:46, "And when Jesus had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray." This was after Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And people were amazed at this miracle. And so what did Jesus do? He sends the multitude away. He sends the disciples away into the boat. And he goes up and prays. And spends time in prayer. And so we continue with Luke 5:15. "However, the reporter went around concerning all the more, and the great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." What do you guys do when you get success and your name is the report goes out about what you've been doing? Jesus goes alone into the wilderness and prays. It's something where as we would labor in this, we need the direction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ himself guiding us who to go to, who to speak to, and who to declare the gospel to. Being bold with or being and gentle and meek. And as they come to you and they might say, "Yes, I would love to be discipled." You would go, "What do I do now?" You pray. What are you going to go through with this person? Not every person will have the same book you can just pick out and go through, right? You need to find out, how are they? What do they need to know God and to love God? Pastor Bob, when he started discipling me, he started with holiness. About 1.5 chapters in, he said, "Gavin, we're going to put that book aside and we're going to go to Thoughts of Young Men." And that's a much thinner book, the slower track for me. But as an example where you need to tailor the teaching them to know God to that person. And through prayer is how you're going to accomplish that. Through the Lord himself, and he will guide you. He will be with you, as we'll learn he promises us. And so we see that the foundation of prayer is one of the works of going and making disciples, evangelizing, and calling men, women, boys, and girls to know God and to learn more and more about God. And so that is our first thing we see, is Jesus lived out the Great Commission, the example of prayer. The second thing is teaching. And we go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11:1. "Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, he departed for there to teach and to preach in their cities." He had just sent out all of his disciples 2 by 2. And he himself goes to their cities to teach and preach. Mark 4. "And he began to teach by the sea, and great multitude was gathered to him. As he got into the boat, he sat on the sea, and he's teaching. "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." Jesus again teaching the multitude. Mark 6:2, "And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished." And the last thing, Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. This is the labor of the disciple maker, of Jesus, who is teaching. What are you to teach? You are to teach lost souls to know God, to know the one true living God. You are to teach what you have been given. You have been given the knowledge to know God Himself. And so your goal of evangelism is to teach them to know God, to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not given $1 million to go buy things. You're not given huge estates or kingdoms to rule or have authority over. You're not given a lazy boy chair to just sit and do nothing. You are given the knowledge of God, of knowing Him who moves and controls all things. And your relationship with Him, you are to share with others of how to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are to disciple to know Him better, to know Him more. And that is the Great Commission, as Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And so that is going to be the second thing we see as Jesus' example in Great Commission. The third thing we'll see in Jesus' example is going to be compassion. Jesus' compassion for those around Him. Mark 6:34. And Jesus, when He came out, He saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And so He began to teach them many things. Why did He teach them? He pitied them. He saw their darkness. He saw their hell-bound state. And He pitied them. He saw that they had no hope in themselves. And their only hope would be the gospel of Jesus Christ, that salvation comes through Him alone. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went out to all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like a sheep not having no shepherd. And He said to His disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." We need to have the eyes, as Jesus saw, our eyes like His, where He saw the spiritual state of men around Him, of women around Him, of children around Him. And it caused Him to weep, because He knew the reality of their state. We know the reality. And that reality up here moved in Him to have compassion for those around Him. All the healings, all the work that He labored day in and day out. What was that for? Because of the compassion He had of those around Him. And so, lastly, the fourth thing is an example. Many other things we can look at Jesus' life in the great is related to the Great Commission, but His obedience and submission. Again, there we go to Philippians 2:5-8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of men, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Jesus loved and loves his heavenly Father. His obedience comes from a great love for his heavenly Father, to where he was able to do what we don't see anywhere else except in God, and that is him becoming the servant of all, even the servant unwilling enough to die the death on the cross. And so us as followers, as this command is given to us, we are not to be servants of ourselves. We are not to be servants of this world. We're not to be servants of the devil. We are to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when we see that, his authority over all things in heaven and earth, do we doubt his power to help us obey this command that he has given us? No. And so this is where we see even Jesus was willing to go to that obedience that the Father called him to. And are we willing to obey as Jesus calls us in this great commission? Those are beautiful examples: prayer, teaching, the compassion of Jesus, and the obedience of Jesus, of how he shows us how to go about the Great Commission. And so our third and final point tonight is you and the Great Commission. You know this is a very familiar verse. It's one we learn even from a young age, or very quickly as we read, because it is a glorious verse. You know this verse. But think about it right now. Pastors, deacons, church members, if God calls you to account, to give account of your time, your resources, your money, your knowledge, what are we going to give? Are we being faithful to this command? If we are to examine ourselves before the Lord Jesus Christ, him knowing everything, are we being faithful to this command to go and make disciples, evangelizing and calling sinners into the kingdom? We need to discuss this more often. We need to talk about discipling, not only our children, but anyone who enters the door, all of us next to each other. We need to talk about discipling. As Jesus has commanded us, that is our mission as the church, but also individually, to be going and go and making disciples, teaching them all that I have commanded you. And so we see here, failure or success. The encouragement is, if we look to ourselves, we know we'll see disappointment. But as we look to Jesus Christ, we look to him and we live. And success, it's not a list of, oh, this person I got disciple, this person I got disciple. An example would be Jeremiah. Was he successful? Yes. Nobody listened to his words. They rejected him over and over and over. But what was he? Why was he successful? It's because he was faithful. Success is measured not in what we accomplish. It just is measured in our faithfulness to the Lord. Jesus will say at the end, "Well done, good and successful servant." No. He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And where we see his authority, our success is only in our being faithful to his authority. Trusting him, relying on him, laboring under him as our CEO or as our Lord. Not for the worldly things, not for ourselves, but for him. That's where we see our success. And he knows our weakness. He knows our frame. Because you can see it in this command. I call it the Jesus sandwich. What has Jesus declared to us here? It's the Jesus sandwich. This is for us who are weak, poor, stupid sinners who are frail and always prone to fall. What does he do? He takes a bun, which is the first thing he says, which is the top covering. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And we're the patty in the middle in that sandwich. He says to us, "Go therefore." And what covers us and holds us is his promise. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The reason why Jesus gives you this command is you will never understand his authority or his promise to be with you unless you go. When you go, you will see his authority working out in your soul and the souls around you. The glory of his power, of his saving grace, transforming adulterers into those who are no longer dominated by sin, or druggies who are gripped by drugs but now freed from that bondage. And as you see his authority that covers you as you go, and his promises support you as you stand upon that as a comfort, knowing your boss might scold you because you're not to share the gospel at work over and over. But you know his authority, you know his promises, and so you secretly share the gospel, though you will be reprimanded. Or you go out in the midst of a pandemic to give out food, to bring contact with those who are needy in darkness, to build trust with them, so that you might invite them to come and learn about God. And we see here that this is the Jesus sandwich. It is the comfort for your soul as you go, maybe to a far land, or maybe to your workplace, or to your neighbor. What does Jesus show us? You need to pray. Pray to know where you should go, who you should speak to. And so as we think about this command, for you and the great commandment, for us as a church, our ministries, our missionaries, our labors as a church should be end goal of making disciples. When we think about people coming up for the food ministry, how are we going to make inviting them an opportunity to make them disciples? Are we going to be ready to give up that time to spend with them when they come? And as soon as they enter the door of the church, if they're here, it's like, "We're happy you're here for church. Do you want to meet one-on-one? Do you want to meet privately to discuss the sermon you just heard?" Every person that comes in, whether a guest or a visitor, they're a wanderer possibly. And we can find out if they don't know God, we're going to evangelize. If they know God, what are we going to do? We're going to walk with Him and knowing God better. And so we see that that as a whole brings us unity, brings us our mission, and brings us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us. And so, in closing, what is your motivation? What is your motivation? It's the holes in His hands. It's the blood that He shed for you. It's the everyday discipling that He does for you now. By the Word and by His Holy Spirit. He does that day in and out, day in and day out now for you. He serves you in this way. And why would you go? Because He's done it for you. And Jesus asked you, even this night, to go pray, to evangelize, to make disciples. The devil would say, nah, you're not ready. You don't know enough. You're not equipped. Your personality's not right. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And He wants you to know that. And He wants you to know that He is with you. There is not a moment that He does not have full control of all your surroundings. And so as you meditate, as you see His compassion for your very soul, you go to share the light that He has given you to those in the darkness, to those who are spiritually bankrupt. The knowledge you have is so great. And are you going to store that for yourself? Do you really believe it? And so we see here that Jesus, did He waste His life? Was it a waste for Him to come and save you? Is it a waste for you to go and labor your life for souls around you? Is it a waste? It is not. For all of eternity, we will glory in His love and His grace. And so we need to pray as if those around us in their spiritual darkness are going to hell, because they are. We need to pray as if their whole eternity depended on it. We need to study and go and labor as if life and death mattered. And it does. Jesus knows it. That's why He wept. That's why He had compassion. And so why would you waste your life? He did. Giving us that perfect example. And was it a waste for your soul? And so as we close, the world puts upon us a bucket list or life goals that we might labor towards. Business, family, sports, entertainment, politics. Things we need to busy ourselves with. Maybe we have the burden to look at the news and entertain us with that falseness. And we waste so much time. But Jesus, He has providentially sent us a time. Right now we sit in a pandemic. The Word of God compels us, but the providence of God compels us even more. Because now more opportunity is before us. People in this country never have to face death, but now they have to. And do we not speak to them and say, hey, are you ready for death? Are you ready for the ventilator and have a 50-50 chance? My friend has a coworker who's on the ventilator now, and she didn't look too bad. Right? We have such an opportunity to say, are you ready? You're stuck in your apartment or your house. You can't go anywhere. You're left with your own thoughts. But God is there. Do you know that? And we can declare the truth of God. You're anxious because of this pandemic. You have no control. But guess who does? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I would love for you to know Him. That you would not fear a virus or even death itself because He has conquered it all. And so even this time, not only Jesus Himself compels us, but more, oh so much more, oh church, is this time a time to reap, to labor. And as things open up, would we be changed, not feeling our lives again with a neglecting this command, neglecting laboring in obedience for the mission that Jesus has given us? But would we fill our lives going and calling the destitute, the lame, the poor, the addicted, the anxiety-pressed, those who need the Lord Jesus Christ? And so my prayer is that you would see the Jesus sandwich. You would see His authority that covers you. You would see the promises that lift you up. And that you would go to prayer. Go and teach. Go and have compassion and obey what the Lord Jesus Christ has called you, every one of you, to do. What a glorious calling He has given us. What a privilege and what a love He has for us. And may we give that love to others as we obey Him in following this command. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we glory in Your goodness. We glory and how You work and labor now. And Lord, we need Your help. Help us to look up. To look and to live. Help us to be unified in the mission to go and evangelize, to go and teach and to make disciples and teach them of the things that You have commanded even us. And that we would know You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.